Okay, I think most of you are done praying. There's one more prayer request I forgot to mention, but we've had a fellow by the name of Oakley. How many of you met Oakley? He used to sit back here. Oakley has moved back down to his home country, North Carolina. Yeah, Georgia. And he feels bad because he really started to connect here and really liked you people. So Oakley says, tell everybody I appreciate the church and tell them to pray for me. So pray for Oakley, if you would, in his move to Georgia. Okay, tonight we're going to look at Philippians 2 and just four verses. Philippians 2, four verses. The main points, Roman numeral 1, to be rightly related, we need to be harmonious. Harmonious. Roman numeral 2, we need to be humble. And Roman numeral 3, we need to be humane. Harmonious, Roman numeral 1. Humble, Roman numeral 2. And humane, Roman numeral number 3. The title, by the way, you want to fill in that top blank, is our struggle to be rightly related. To be rightly related to one another. All right, let me read the text here and we'll get started. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And then verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of Christ. Paul writing to the church of Philippi here, as he was in prison. And I think it's amazing the good advice that he gives us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the people that have made it out. Thank you for your continued goodness, grace, mercy, and your love towards us, your patience with us. Help us, Lord, as we look at this passage again to learn something afresh, something new and valuable that we can use in 2024, something that we can maybe apply to our neighbor and our friend, our classmates, our coworkers, people that don't know thee, Lord. Help us to be an effective witness through the lesson tonight. Lord, do what I can't do, and we'll thank you for the help you give in Christ's name. Amen. Now also, well, let me give you the intro there. The importance of relationships. Ships ends in S-H-I-P-S, and I changed that to chips. Chips happen. My car is a chip magnet, okay? I got a stone chip on my way to Huron for the Schaefer funeral. And then I got a stone chip last Friday running around with Greg Dexter. And I don't know about you, but when I get a stone chip, I immediately blame the person in the car that's sitting there. Because if it weren't for him, I would be someplace else and I wouldn't have got the chip, okay? So I blame them. But the reason I say that is because stone chips happen. How many of you have had a stone chip in your windshield? Okay, almost everybody. They just happen. And you know, you don't know whether the guy in front of you, I doubt if he threw a rock at you, okay? Now, there might be some cases where they would throw a rock at you. But when you're traveling on the highway, 50, 60 miles an hour, and you're passing traffic all the time, sooner or later, chip happens, and you get one. Bing. And sometimes you can fix it with a little $50 plug, and sometimes it requires a whole new windshield, which could range in age, in price nowadays from $300 maybe to $3,000, depending on what kind of car you have, okay? It can be very expensive. But when chips chip away at relationships, because sad things happen, bad things happen, argumentative things happen, differences creep in, when all those things happen that hurt our relationships, we need to know how to deal with it. We need to know how to fix it. And that's what leads us to our title. How do we stay rightly related to one another in this text, in these four verses? How do we do that? Well, let's look first of all at verse 1 here. And here again, here's another alliterated message right in the text if you were to just preach on verse 1. First of all, you have consolation. The Lord desires our consolation to be handled properly. And consolation is a little different than comfort, and it's a little different than compassion. Consolation means that we can handle grief properly. That's what consolation is. It's handling something painful or something awkward or something, we handle it right. We handle grief. That's consolation. Then you have comfort. What's comfort? Well, when there's no pain, we're comfortable. Because comfort really means freedom of pain. The pain is gone, and so therefore we're comforted. When old people go to nursing centers and they go to end-of-life nursing homes, the goal of the staff is to keep them, what's the word? Comfortable, to eliminate the pain. That's comfort. And then there's community. And the verse goes on and says, if any fellowship of the Spirit, that's community. That's fellowshipping with other believers. And God wants us to handle those in a good way. And then there's also compassion. And compassion is, I looked in the dictionary for this definition. You know, you hear a word and you think you know what it means. Then you go to the dictionary and you find, wow, I didn't realize that. But compassion in the dictionary that I used, and it wasn't a seminary kind of dictionary, and it wasn't Webster's 1828 dictionary. It was just a set by your desk kind of hand portable dictionary. It said this, compassion is when you have a good gut feeling about things. Look at there, if any bowels and mercies. That's not language we're usually familiar with. But I'm amazed that I get older how many benefits there are to having a good stomach system. Not just necessarily large, but just when you have a good gut feeling. When your gut is feeling good, then you have a better day. And when your gut tells you, oh no, then you get into a nervous ball and you develop ulcers and then you end up in the hospital. So when your gut feels good, then you're more healthy. You feel better. And that's the idea there behind any bowels and mercies. You're able to handle life without getting all tied in knots in your gut. So that's verse 1. And he wants us to handle consolation, comfort, community, and compassion in a spiritual way. So let's see how we do that. Well, let's go to verse 2 here. We do it, first of all, by being harmonious. Look at verse 2. We strive to be like-minded. That's letter A. Fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded. When we're like-minded, our thinking, there's the second half of letter A there, our thinking becomes similar. I think I know what the pastor would have me do when there's snow on the sidewalk. Shovel it, okay? I think I know what my wife wants me to do when the inside of the car is dirty. Vacuum it. The idea there is when we are like-minded, we don't have to be told to do things, we just do them. Wes picked up a little piece of trash that was on the floor. Where did you find that thing? Yeah, and he could have left it for the janitor. He could have done that. He just picked it up and, somebody's got to do it. He's like-minded. That's the idea. And Paul says, look, if you want to fulfill my joy as your pastor, as your representative, Paul says, if you want to fulfill my joy, you Philippian Christians, if you want to make Paul happy, then be like-minded. Okay? Thinking becomes similar. Secondly, we strive not only to be like-minded, we strive to have the same love. The same love. In other words, our actions become similar. Our actions become similar. And then we strive to be in one accord. Now, that's not all of us getting into a Honda Accord. That's all of us being working becomes similar. Did I give you the second one there? Actions become similar. Letter B, under same love. And letter C, we strive to be in one accord. Our working becomes similar. We work together, okay? We're in one accord. We work together. We understand that the arm over here has job to do. This hand has a job to do. Our feet have jobs to do. Our eyes have jobs to do. Our lips have things to say. You know, just we're a body. And we can't, not everybody can be the mouth. Not everybody can be the right arm. Somebody's got to be the big toe. Okay. Somebody's got to be the little toe. We have our parts. And then we get one in accord. We work together. Our working becomes similar. And then we strive to be of one mind. How do you do that? Well, Jesus said, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. So the closer we are to Christ and his word, the more we can have that one-mindedness. And being of one mind, our purposes become similar. So if you want to make a little note on the right of all those A, B, C, and D, put this little note. These things together produce harmony. Like-mindedness, same love, one accord, one mind, thinking together, acting together, working together, purposing together. These things produce harmony, and they produce unity. And without them, then we got to get out the Tylenol and take headache pills, okay? Very important. So in summary of this first few points here, we should possess, as believers, as members of the church, a common mindset. A common mindset, and we should have a common motivation. Our mindset is we want to bring glory to God. Our motivation is we want the things we do, we want to bring glory to God. And that's why we work with the same love and one accord and have the same mind. Let's look at the second characteristic of being rightly related. Roman numeral 2. If you're awake, say amen. Okay, if I'm going too fast, I'm okay. Too fast, too slow. Just right. Okay, let's go to Roman numeral 2. Be humble. Look at verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. There's the humble. In lowliness of mind. Letter A under Roman numeral 2. We have some prohibited vices. Let nothing be done. In other words, no, don't do this. We have prohibited vices. And what are they? Well, strife. Strife or vainglory. It's the idea of argument. It's the idea of not getting along. And it's the idea of having a bad attitude. A bad attitude causes strife, and we want to have a godly attitude, a good attitude. We don't want to have a bad attitude. Well, what if you get a messy job? What if the toilet overflows? You know, fix it with a good attitude. I mean, if you don't fix it, somebody else got to fix it. And so just, you know, we have plumbers, we have janitors, you know, and if it's serious, then we call a plumber. I understand that. But there's a lot of little things we can do just because we have a humble spirit and we want to help. So, the prohibited vices means no strife, no vainglory, no bad attitudes, no bad ambitions. Don't be ambitious to do wrong. Don't be ambitious to be disobedient. And then no self-displays. No self-displays. We are taught in the Bible to deny ourselves. And a self-display is when we're showboating. And I've never liked showboating. I can sniff it out in most cases, but I also have to confess there are times when I showboated. When I played hockey, if you scored 3 goals in a row and the other team didn't score, then you were called a hot dog. That's showboating, okay? That's getting all puffed up and out of place, and sooner or later you're going to get clubbed because the other team will make sure you get taken out, okay? But the idea there is not to be displaying us, but we are to be displaying him. We are to be denying ourselves and not just displaying how good we are and how nice we are and how obedient we are. There's no room for that. Those are the prohibited vices. Now let's look at the prescribed virtues. Now, by the way, there's this typo there. It's not virtues, it's virtues, V-I. So my I was typing so fast, my word processor could not keep up with me, okay? I have like a dinosaur model in my office, and it's supposed to be virtues. Prescribed. I asked my wife while I was doing this, I said, does the doctor give us a prescription or does he give us a prescription? And we just got in a full battle discussion over is it pre or per? How many think it's prescription? How many say prescription? Okay, but it's actually prescription. Okay, that's what Google told us. So that's what we're going with. Prescribed virtues, here they are. Be esteeming in lowliness of mind, the middle of verse 3. It says, let each esteem other better than yourself. So esteeming is part of that prescribed virtue. Paul says, you know, think of others as being better than you. Walk a mile in their shoes. Be more understanding. Be more patient. Be more loving. Don't put people down. Esteem others better than yourself. So it includes esteeming. It includes being transparent and being balanced. There's a lot of believers that are out of balance. And when your car tires and your front axle is out of balance, you need to get it fixed or you're going to have an accident. And as believers, somebody said the one proverb that was left out is, blessed be the balanced. We need to have balance. I was just sharing with somebody the other day. If I think long and hard enough, I'll be able to tell you who it was. But I told him, I said, don't get out of balance. I said, remember, a third of the scripture is historical, roughly. A third of it is prophetical, roughly. And a third of it is practical. And you need all three of those. You need to understand the history of the book. You need to understand where we're going, the prophecy of the book. But you also need to learn how to live today, the practical part of living. And that's the idea there. We need to be transparent and balanced in our lives. We don't want to be out of balance and awkward. We're not called to be Baptist monks. We're called to be believers who live amongst the world that loves sin more than the Savior. And it's our challenge and our chore, if you will, to be an effective witness. And then we need to be aware of our insufficiencies. The Lord is all sufficient, and we need His help for everything. Every breath you take, which is, I think I counted it up one time, it's roughly 10,000 a day if you're breathing at such and such. No, those are thoughts. I don't know how many breaths you take a day, but you and I both know we take a lot of them. We take a lot of breaths. Can we agree with that? Every breath is a gift of God's grace. He breathed into Adam the breath of life. And if you're still breathing, that's a gift of His grace. If your heart is still pumping, that's a gift of His grace. Next week when you read the newspaper, you're going to find out some people stopped breathing and some people's heart stopped. And you can be thankful that His sufficiency gets us through things and helps us get along and helps us to be rightly related. So that's number two there. Let's wrap this up. Roman number three. Not only do we need to be harmonious and humble, we need to be humane. We need to be humane. Look at verse 4. The idea of being humane is to be a realist, okay? Not all the time pessimistic, not all the time optimistic. We need to just land someplace in the middle and be realistic. This is life. This is our calling. This is our ministry. And how do we do that? Three ways. We fix our eyes on the needs of others. Look at verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Paul says, don't be concerned about your own stuff. Look at the needs of others. That word look, here's some Greek. Pastor will be impressed. Pastor, you're impressed. The Greek word for look is scopio. S-C-O-P-E-O. And it gets us the idea of scoping out. You know, when I go to a car lot, I'm scoping out a new Volkswagen. Okay. I'm looking out. That's the idea behind that word look. We're scoping. And we need to look to the needs of others. You know, when our neighbor needs something, we try to help them out. When our family members need something, we try to help them out. When people need prayer, we try to help them out. So look to the needs of others. Fix our eyes upon the needs of others. Secondly, we need to fix our purposes on the needs of others. You know, our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And when God gives you help in anything, He gives that help to you so that you can share it with others. He helps us so we can help others. He doesn't just help us and forget others. He helps us so that through His Spirit living through us, we can help other people. As believers, our missionary work is that of helping. I've said many times, two pictures of a church. We need to be a hospital. We need to help and fix and work with those that are spiritually ill. We're to be helpers. A church is like a hospital. We're supposed to help people who are hurting. And secondly, our church is like a restaurant. We're to feed people that are hungry. And so we help and we feed. And that's how we meet the needs of others. Our help comes from the Lord, and we share that as we help others. So fix your eyes on the needs of others. Fix your purposes on the needs of others. And then finally, letter C, fix yourself. You know, you got to take care of yourself too. You got to spend your devotional time and your prayer time, and you got to spend some time working on you so that you can help others. So fix yourself, but also look at the end of verse 4. But every man also. That means you too get the help, but you also help others at the same time. So you also help others with their needs. You've heard the acrostic JOY, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. That actually helps you. The more you apply that principle, J-O-Y, the more mature you become, because you're living as Christ would live if he were walking the earth again. He would be purposed on meeting the needs of others. So that's Roman numeral 3. Those are easy words, right? It's alliterated. Needs, needs, needs. Got it? A conclusion? Well, this is the Forsberg conclusion, okay? Not real deep. But if you want harmony within the church, get along. That's it. Just get along. There's a song, I could sing it, Get Along, Little Doggy, but I won't do that, okay? But harmony comes when we get along. And then secondly, humble. Humble is when we get over ourselves. We get beyond ourselves. We realize it's not about us. It's about Jesus and it's about others. And we're at the bottom of the list. That's humble. And then being humane carries the idea of get real. Anybody ever say that to you? Get real, Forsberg. You don't really think the moon landing happened or whatever. People use that phrase, get real. And we are to be realists. We know the life is full of troubles and sorrows and challenges, but we also know God is good and he will help us with those troubles and challenges that come our way. So very quickly in review, harmonious is Roman numeral 1, like-minded in thinking, same love in acting, one accord in working, one mind and purposes. In summary, we should possess a common mindset and motivation. Roman numeral 2, we need to be humble. And then we give you some prohibited vices, things we should not do, and some prescribed virtues, things we should do. And then Roman numeral 3, in our humaneness, in our realistic living, we fix our eyes on the needs of others 3 times. Needs, needs, needs. And all God's people said, yeah. Amen. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Again, I have been overly generous because I'm letting you out 4 minutes early. So tonight you have an opportunity to shake hands with at least 400 people, okay? 100 people per minute. No, actually, shake hands with about 4 or 5 people if you would, and tell them you're glad they came to church tonight. You learn something, say amen. You're going to pray for one another, say amen. All right, let's be dismissed in prayer. Wes, would you dismiss us, please?